Hello, guys, and welcome to Squad, a brand new podcast from the military children's charity Little Troopers. My name is Katie Thistleton. I'm a TV and radio broadcaster and a mental health ambassador, and I am absolutely buzzing to be joining you for this series. So what can you expect from Squad? Well, the chances are, as you've already found yourself here, you might be from a military family, with one or both of your parents serving in the British Armed Forces. The good news is you've come to the right place. This podcast is the place to come to if you're a military child or teenager. Let's face it, being from a military family can be tough. It can also be amazing, and quite often, it's also just a bit bonkers. And here on Squad, we're set to explore all of that. From school life to friendships, from exams to family relationships, this series will cover a range of topics that are important to you. Each episode, we'll be joined by some amazing military teenagers who want to share their experiences. We'll have some fun, we'll learn lots, and most importantly, we'll create a space where you guys feel heard. On hand to help us navigate these topics throughout the series is a chap who's been there, done that. Tom Smith is a professional rugby player who has grown up in a military family. In fact, his dad still serves in the British Armed Forces. Welcome, Tom. Thanks for joining me for this series of Squad.
More than welcome.
Now, I am so intrigued by all of this. I know very little about what it's like to be a military child or teenager. So let's just start at the very beginning. Tell me about your family background and your experience growing up as a military child.
Yeah, so it's my dad that's serving in the armed forces. He's in the Royal Air Force, been in it since I was born, really. So he's originally in the army. Around 2002-03, moved to the RAF, where he's still serving. Mum's a mental health nurse. And I've got a little sister as well who makes up sort of the family unit.
What was your kind of first understanding of it? Because I feel like when we're like little, we don't really understand what grown-ups' jobs are anyway, do we? We're like, oh, they're just, grown-ups have to work. That's rubbish, isn't it? I don't have to. I can just watch TV all day. At what point did you think, oh, like my dad's got a different job to like what all my friends' dads have got?
Well, good question. I think probably the moment I realised was when dad was sent away quite a lot. So there was a period of time dad was away in Afghan, Iraq, got quite heavy at one bit. And I remember going to school, all my mates would come in, see stuff on the news, be like, oh, wow, this is really cool. This is happening in Afghan. People are having fights, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I, from my sort of perspective, I was completely opposite. I was just worried, probably got a bit angry that they thought it was so cool. But that's probably the first time that I realised.
Yeah, it's a really good point, actually. Like, I'm a few years older than you, but I feel like Iraq, Afghanistan were just sort of like countries that were thrown around like at school. Like there was a lot obviously going on, a lot happening in the news, and everyone was talking about it. And certainly, you know, I think there was a lot of fear around the mention of those places.
Yeah.
So for all your mates being like, oh, wow, yeah, the army, war, soldiers,
exactly.
You know, kind of like maybe for like young lads, that's maybe how most people would sort of see it. You actually were like, oh, no, that's not, to me, that's not just what's going on in these countries. Like, that's what's going on for my actual family.
Exactly, yeah.
Were you scared that, you know, he might come into any harm at all?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I struggled quite a bit, actually. It was a massive worry. So mum was really good. Mum was really supportive.
Oh, she's a mental health nurse.
Exactly.
I mean,
literally
the ideal
perfect
job for your mum to be
in,
you know, when presumably you're all going to be struggling with your mental health.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It was tough. I think you kind of get used to it. I think as a military child, you become very resilient. I think it sort of, you get packed with loads of life skills at an early age to kind of deal with that sort of stuff, which is great. But it's definitely a unique job.
So I think a lot of people when they're younger want to be like professional sports players, and it can be quite hard to realise that dream. But you are actually a professional rugby player now.
Yeah, so I think I've gone from one niche environment to another one. So
you've not made it easy for yourself.
No.
And who do you play for?
So I'm with Leicester Tigers at the moment, but I'm on loan to Doncaster Knights.
Okay, well, rugby aside, why are you excited to get involved in the Squad podcast and with the charity Little Troopers?
Well, start with the Little Troopers charity. I think it's brilliant. I think it provides a voice for military children. They often go unheard. So sort of providing a voice to them, then I think a podcast is the best way to do that.
And Little Troopers, of course, we know do so much work supporting military children and teenagers. And you've actually experienced that firsthand, haven't you?
My sister, Florence, has been helped a lot by the charity. She's taken part in the Christmas pantomime. She's also received seeds through the post in April, which is actually the month of the military child. So I can see firsthand sort of the work that the charity is doing and helping children get through difficult times.
Amazing. Well, it's so good to have you on board, Tom. I'm very pleased that you're here because you've actually got a lot of knowledge about what military life is like, and I definitely haven't. Let's kick off the series with the first episode, shall we?
Let's do it.
You're listening to Squad.
So this series will cover lots of topics, but we thought we should start today by exploring the weird and the wonderful things that can happen when you're from a military family. Tom, what are some of your most bizarre experiences?
We were posted out in Naples in Italy, which is probably one of the best best ones that we've been sent to.
I bet.
But over Christmas time, for some reason, I think there was a sort of dispute on our estate and our gas and water supplies got switched. So we were out of gas and water for the whole of Christmas. So all the military families on the estate kind of came together and kind of what they had cooked. We had a half-cooked turkey and stuff like that, which kind of got left aside. But no, that was quite cool.
I like that you say that's cool because, you know, that could be a disastrous memory, couldn't
it? Exactly. Yeah.
But actually what that did was brought everybody together. Do you feel like you kind of all bonded and made some new friends out of that as well?
Yeah, definitely. I've got... one of the best things about military life is that you make friends wherever you go. So I've got friends from all over the world.
Well, in this episode, we're going to really highlight what a wild ride this can be. We're going to be hearing from four military teens who will anonymously share the most bizarre experience of their military life. The group are going to go head to head to guess which statement belongs to who. Let's see who guesses right. We'll also delve into the stories behind the statements and dig a little deeper into the people behind them, giving us the chance to explore the opportunities and challenges of being a military child. Let's meet today's stars of the show.
Hello, I'm Megan. I'm 18. I live in Swansea and my dad is in the RAF.
Hi, I'm Alfie. I'm 15 years old and go to school in Carterton and my dad is in the military.
Hi, I'm Kieran. I'm 15. I live in Oxfordshire with my mum, brother and dad who is in the RAF.
I'm Olivia. I'm 17 years old. I'm currently in Reading and my dad is in the military.
Before we start our guessing game, let's find out a little bit more about Megan, Olivia, Kieran and Alfie.
You're listening to Squad.
How long's the longest you guys have gone without seeing your parents then?
Oh, I have to try and think now. probably about 4 months. I've been quite lucky. It was quite hard because I was quite young, but obviously as time's progressed, technology's got a lot better. So the older I got, the easier it was to communicate with my dad, which was quite nice. Kieran, what's the longest time that your dad's ever been posted for?
He went on deployment when I was a lot younger, for 6 months, and I think that's the longest time I've actually been away from him. And it was over my birthday, so I didn't really understand. I was just a bit upset that he wasn't there for my birthday. Alfie, did you have your dad away from any important time in your life or a special event?
Yeah, he's missed my birthday like twice, I think, and he's missed Christmas a couple of times. It's obviously hard, like, because he's not here to celebrate with you, but he used to like send me blueies, like the little blue letters, like wishing me happy birthday and stuff and just let me know how he's getting on. So Megan, have you received any blueies while your dad's been away on deployment?
I actually haven't. I don't think blueies are like around as much anymore. I remember back when I was younger, early deployment, it would just be bluey upon bluey I was writing or getting through the door. But no, I haven't this time. I have sent him a letter, but I can't actually seem to get a bluey to send him because I'm not on a military base anymore. So Olivia, when did you sort of realise maybe that you were different to your sort of civilian peers when it comes to your upbringing and your parents' jobs?
Oh, okay. One memory that I will always remember is my nativity when I was like 5, must have been quite young. My dad was in Afghanistan at the time and we were all absolutely sure that he wasn't going to make it back. And I remember standing on stage and my dad walking through the back of the church and he just stood at the back of the church and I remember obviously just waving very enthusiastically. And I remember, because my mum didn't know either, I remember my mum turning around and we were all just absolutely shocked. And obviously I couldn't talk to him until the end of the show. But just seeing him in the audience was absolutely amazing.
Wow.
That was very cool.
Yeah, so Alfie, do you have anything that you really remember from when you were younger, maybe about your school or just memories about your dad?
So my best friend, Ruben was his name, when I was 8, and we were really close. And he moved down to Benson and met Kieran, And then him and Kieran became really good friends. And then he moved back up to Lossiemouth when I moved down to Carterton. And then I met Kieran.
That's really weird.
Yeah.
So it was like really, really weird.
That's very weird.
I think one thing that can be said for like military children connections is they like don't die out.
Yeah, 100%.
It's just a bond that can't really break, I think, military children connections. So, Olivia, how many times have you moved then? And how many different schools and houses have you lived in and gone to?
So I've been quite lucky for the past 6 years of education because I've been at a boarding school. So haven't had to move around as much, which has been very reassuring, having that sense of security at one firm place, which is lovely. What about you, Megan? How many houses and schools have you been to?
Oh, do you know what? I don't even think I could, off the top of my head, tell you how many houses I've lived in. But in year eight in secondary school, so starting my eighth year of education, I was attending my eighth school. So not quite as lucky with the few school moves as yourself, Olivia. I've been sort of pulled from pillar to post education-wise. But one thing I did notice when I came back, obviously I live in Wales now, I lived a lot of time in England, following the England syllabus. And when I moved to Wales and started year eight, it turned out that the year eight syllabus was exactly the same as the year seven England syllabus. So I just did the exact same thing twice. And I felt like a magician in those classes when they'd be like, so what's this answer? I'd be like, I know this. I done it last year.
That's quite cool.
So Megan, you've said that you've moved loads and loads of times. So how do you keep your bedroom every time you move looking very, very nice and just making it feel like home?
I just say my tip would be buy a lot of blue tack. That's what the entirety of my childhood bedroom walls were full of, like blue tack and command strips, because they easily pull off.
I've got a couple of military housing disasters stories. The first one being the carpets. I don't know if the carpets were the same throughout, but it was like almost like a brown kind of carpet. A light brown kind of carpet. Another one is the curtains. They made it feel dull. Like, obviously, it isn't my house, but it made it feel more away from home than it needed to be. My parents used to change them out so quickly.
So, Olivia, what's it like being in a boarding school? Do you, like, share a room or do you just live on your own?
So, in the junior school, most of the time you share a room because, obviously, it's new to most people. But my biggest tip for making it homely is lots of pictures of family, friends, fairy lights are always a winner. And regarding being a military child and having parents away, I'd make use of FaceTime, WhatsApp, keeping in touch while they're posting all their amazing adventures on Facebook and whatever while you're stuck at school.
Okay, now we've all gotten to know each other, I think it's time we start our game, don't you?
Yes!
Okay, the time has come to reveal the four anonymous statements. We're going to ask Alfie, Olivia, Kieran and Megan to secretly submit their guesses now as we go. And of course, you listening can play along too.
Okay, here's statement number one.
When I was 12, I was sitting in class at school when a teacher rushed in and asked to speak to me. She told me that my parents, who were posted in the US whilst I was at school in the UK, had been evacuated as a 280-kilometre-per-hour tropical hurricane, Hurricane Matthew, was heading towards their house.
Now, do you guys think this statement belongs to Alfie, Olivia, Kieran or Megan?
Oh, I don't know.
So Megan's moved a lot.
Yeah.
So it could be Megan, but then Olivia's parents also don't let Olivia's in a boarding school, so it could also be Olivia.
Could be.
But then Alfie and Kieran seem to find themselves in weird triangle situations, so it could possibly be something that could happen to either one of them.
That's very true.
I think Olivia was away from her parents for a while. US, UK, I don't know.
Lots of speculation there, but can the true owner of this statement please make themselves known?
That was me, Olivia.
Yes!
Oh my.
Yeah.
So that must have been so scary. Can you remember how you felt when you heard the news?
I can't. I was just very scared because I had no idea what was going on. My grandparents, who were my guardians in the UK, were actually on holiday with them at the time. So my sister and I spoke a lot throughout that day. And in the junior school, I wasn't allowed my phone during the day. So I had to phone my parents on my sister's phone and asked if they were okay. But yeah, I was honestly just absolutely petrified because never been in that situation before. Obviously, only found out the extent of the hurricane after it happened. So I had no idea if I was going to go home in October half term. But yeah, I just remember it being so surreal and honestly having no idea what to expect.
So Olivia, what advice would you give to other military kids about the situation you were in?
I think if you've got siblings with you, I'd definitely make use of them, because I think being a military child has made me and my sister a lot closer. Definitely, if you've got a good support network around you, I'd make use of that. I know it's sometimes quite hard being surrounded by civilians at school, but talk to your friends about it, like educate them, because obviously the phrase every day is a learning day, but it honestly is in the military child life, because you hear something new every day. So I definitely utilise the people around you.
Tell us more about the hurricane then. You said it was Hurricane Matthew. Do you know if anyone was hurt in the storm or the extent of the damage? I mean, did you see pictures or videos? Or
I didn't get photos of my house until a few weeks later. And there was a tree. There were loads of trees blown around, blown over behind the house. And there was a tree about 2 inches away from my bedroom window. It was absolutely mental. When my dad sent me that photo, and the tree was literally about that far away from my bedroom window, which was mad, but luckily no damage to the house.
Okay, here's statement number two.
Once when my dad was on deployment, I received a parcel. When I saw what was inside, I couldn't believe my eyes. A scorpion in a glass case.
I don't want to sound like sexist, but I can't imagine a father sending his daughters a scorpion in a case. So I'm automatically kind of guessing Alfie or Kieran.
Agreed.
Funny you should say that. I was kind of thinking more to Megan, because with your dad being posted in the Middle East, maybe he sent one from there.
That's true.
Possibly.
I honestly don't have a clue, this one.
Okay, a lot of guesses being thrown at Megan there. But what do you think? Can the true owner of this statement please make themselves known?
It was me, Alfie.
Oh, no.
So where was your dad when he sent you this scorpion?
He was in Iraq for 6 months, I think. And it was quite a like tough time for him when he came back. Yeah, he did go. It was probably one of the... I was 7 years old when I got the scorpion. And he did go through quite a dark time, but I didn't realise until my mum had told me years later that my mum had seen, oh, not my mum, my dad, sorry, had seen a boy my age come through the camp that he was working at, injured because he'd stepped on an IED trying to run into the base, trying to escape the Taliban. And my dad was like properly like, he wasn't, like he was not in the right place, but I couldn't tell. I just thought he was like upset for a while. So it took him months to like come over that period, and it took my mum years to come out and tell me about it.
Oh wow, I'm so sorry to hear that your dad went through that, Alfie. Why do you think he sent you the scorpion then? Do you think it was to cheer yourself up or him, or what was his thinking behind that?
So basically, me and my dad always used to send blues to each other, and that's kind of how we communicated back then, because we didn't have like WhatsApp and stuff, and I was seven, and I was obsessed with, like, because I was told Iraq, it's really dangerous for animals, and I kept blowing my dad seeing if he'd seen any of these crazy animals that you don't see here in the UK. So then I think he was just like, okay, we're gonna send him one, but I think he just done it to show me that actually there is animals out there.
How did it compare to like a long letter? Was it good to keep the communication between you exciting?
Yes, it was. I feel like the more exciting it is, especially at a young age, and if it was just down blues all the time, because it can be quite, I wouldn't say boring, but it can be quite down and stuff, it probably would have, it made me help cope better, that he was sending me more fun stuff. And I've still got the scorpion up in my room. And like I've got like a memory box filled of blueies and stuff.
Got a bit of an add-on question. It's a bit of a weird one, but with blueies, this could apply to all of you. But with being sent blueies and seeing a parent's handwriting, does that like make them feel like they're still a bit at home?
Yeah, it does. It definitely does.
I know the feeling.
I was gonna say, yeah, it does to a certain degree. But like Alfie said, it does become a bit not isolating, but it just gives you a bit of a reminder that, ah, it's nice that you're sending these. It's a shame he's not here in person.
Okay, here's statement number three.
I remember being on the phone to my dad when he was on deployment. Suddenly, in the middle of our conversation, I heard a massive bang and the line cut out, and we didn't hear anything from him for over 2 days. Eventually, we heard that his base had been bombed. Luckily, he was safe, but every second not knowing felt like an hour.
That's so scary.
Yeah, damn. Yeah, that must have been scary.
See, Megan said that she didn't receive Blueys for several days, so it was either, like, by phone, or it took several days, and that would explain why maybe we could cancel Megan out.
I mean, it's quite a scary and, like, I would say dramatic. I don't mean it in any wrong way. But getting to know Megan, it seems like she's done it all, she's had it all. So it points me towards her.
Lots of different thoughts there on who this statement belongs to, but we're all in agreement that that is one scary thing to go through. We're so glad Dad was okay.
Once again, we asked whether you thought this belonged to Alfie, Olivia, Kieran or Megan.
Can the true owner of this statement please make themselves known?
Yep, that was me, Megan.
Yes.
No. Yes, I knew it.
It happened while he was deployed to Iraq. He was there for 6 months, I think, and the base was just constantly rocketed, time after time. Just this particular time, me and my mother happened to be on the phone to him when it happened.
So what were you feeling? What did you think when the phone went dead? What was your reactions?
I was really quite young, so I don't think I fully grasped the situation or understood what had happened. To me, it just felt like, oh, he's lost signal or something. But looking back now, obviously, terrifying. It's terrifying to look back on.
So, Megan, obviously, this was a really, really scary incident. So how did your parents feel? How did your mum feel about the whole situation?
Oh, it really scared my mother, as you can imagine. To lose contact when she knew he was in such a dangerous place. And as an adult, obviously, she knew the lines weren't cutting for any reason. She knew he'd sort of given us a talk before he'd left about the operation to cut off comms when there's a bomb, and you know, whatever reason they need to cut off comms with the outside world and relatives back home. So when we heard the bang, we knew that she knew that something serious had happened on that base. We were living in Bury St Edmunds at the time in England, and all my family live in Wales. She had, I think, my little brother Jack, he must have been about one or two, and me to look after. And she done that all on her own because she's an absolute trooper. But I can't imagine what that was like. But no, I don't even think we told anyone else. I think it was sort of a rule that my father made where it was sort of, don't say unless you need to. Don't worry my mother, you know, don't worry my sister. So I don't think we did tell anyone else outside of us three.
Now that this has happened, that you've had to experience that, does it make you quite anxious or worried that your dad's now so far away?
Yeah, it does. It's less so because I know he's in a less dangerous place and he's not sort of at the front of the conflict on the front line this time around. But yeah, it is scary when he goes away.
Okay, the final statement, statement number four.
I received a parcel from my dad. I thought it was a football as it was round and the right size, but when I opened it, it certainly wasn't for kicking about. It was a massive coconut!
I mean, it's gotta be something. That's a bit strange, isn't it? So it's gotta be something that either one of the boys has experienced just because they seem to find themselves in weird situations.
I'm trying to think where you could be deployed where you'd find coconuts.
That's true. I haven't got a clue. Boys, where do you find coconuts?
I don't know. It's a bit of a random story. Don't have a clue who it is. Honestly, don't have a clue.
I know, somewhere warm. I know anyone could have a coconut.
Yeah, I suppose anyone could have a coconut, Kieran. But our job is to figure out exactly which one of you received this coconut. So can the true owner of this statement please make themselves known?
It was me, Kieran.
Yes.
Yes. Wow. So what was your reaction? I mean, what did you do with it?
I was expecting a football. He sends me silly things all the time. It wasn't anything useful, never anything useful. So it was a bit, I've never actually had to open a coconut for myself before. And he was back before the time we opened it.
So Kieran, why does your dad actually send you these like weird things from all these places? Like, does he just do it for fun, or is it to like for you to keep?
I've got a feeling he thinks he's some sort of comedian. So like he thinks himself very funny. So I think he enjoyed just the reaction of me getting odd things. And I mean, I enjoyed getting them. It made me feel like we were still joking about having a bit of humour, even though he wasn't here.
Do you find it like easy to cope with and talk out to people when your dad's away? Or do you just kind of try and lock yourself in? Because I know a lot of people, either it's one or the other.
Yeah, I mean, I used to be one of these. I wouldn't talk about it. I grew up in a extremely civilian-dominated primary school, so no one really understood. We had this lady, but I just wouldn't talk to her. I shut myself away. But I think once I hit a certain age, I didn't really mind talking about it.
So if you could give one piece of advice to another military child or teen, how would you advise them to deal with parents being deployed?
Definitely talk to someone. Once someone knows and understands, I think their understanding is the crucial part about it. Someone can say, oh yeah, I know that your dad's away. But if they don't understand, it doesn't really help. So find someone that understands what you're going through.
How important would you say your friends are then in coping with your dad going away?
Intrigued to see what the answer is. So Alfie, having me, like, in your life, someone who kind of gets what you're going through, do you think, like, it gives us some sort of understanding of each other?
Yeah, 100%, because it's like, when I first moved down here, you're the first person I met. And it was like, we sat next to each other in primary school and that was it. That's when we started talking. And because you've had the same experience as me in different ways, it just helps be able to bounce off each other.
So this is a question to both of you. Is this the first time you've, like, openly spoken about being a military child as opposed to just in your, like, friendship group?
I mean, this will be the kind of bigger scale we spoke about it on. But in our school, we have this, like, almost service club, if you like, set up to help other military children and teens. And we speak to our school governor's board about it and the other teens and kids about our experiences to kind of give them kind of helping hand along the way.
It's good. It shows that you're not alone. There is other people like you. And even though we are surrounded in civilian areas, there is still people like us. And being a military child is really unique. And it's a bonus and a loss. It depends how you see it. I've always seen it as a bonus. It makes you different from everyone else. And if there's other people like that, you can bounce off each other. It works really well. Olivia, you know, how about you?
Yeah, I don't really talk about it at school because I don't really go to school with many military children. It's very civilian-based. Obviously, we've got the traditions, but that's the only really link a lot of people have to the military. So this is the first time, apart from my family, that I've spoken to anyone about it, really. Obviously, when I was a lot younger, primary school, I'd be like, oh yeah, my daddy's in Afghanistan. But obviously, didn't really actually understand why. So it's really lovely talking to people who have been through the same thing or more extreme of the same situation. And it is really nice to know that I'm not on my own and there are people who have been through the same thing or similar things that I have.
I think being a military child, you learn to like make friends with people. You get along with people. But I mean, if you can't find a mate who you think would understand or even just listen to you, definitely go to one of your teachers, because I bet like one of them has been a military child or has had friends who are a military child and you just don't know about it. Find someone. I mean, again, bit of bromance. I found Alfie or he found me, either way, and we've stuck through it. And like little things, we can help each other through it. So definitely find someone who understands you.
Some really smart advice there from Kieran. Find someone who understands you and talk to them about how you're feeling. Would you agree with that advice, Tom?
Definitely. I mean, mum being a mental health nurse always told me that talking through things makes things a lot better. It can be difficult sometimes if you keep things to yourself. So I think that's a great bit of advice.
Why do you think it's so important for military children to talk about how they're feeling with friends or family members or teachers?
Well, I think from already this podcast alone, we've realised that military children share so many experiences. So I think it just goes to show that it may feel lonely at some times, but really there's loads of people in your position as well going through exactly the same thing, feeling exactly the same thing as well.
When you're a kid in a school or, you know, playing in your local park or whatever, and the other kids around you aren't in that situation, especially if you're somebody who moves schools a lot, it must be quite isolating. Have you got any advice to give to military teenagers who feel a little bit alone and isolated?
Yeah, I think it's easy to say, but from experience, just make the most of it. I think moving around, moving schools, new friendship groups every 2 years or so is really difficult. But like I mentioned earlier, I've got friends from all over the world now. And trust me, it pays off. Holidays to Kenya, Australia, Italy is brilliant. So,
it's so good. Yeah. It pays off now you're an adult.
Exactly,
you can go on holiday whenever you're not playing rugby.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so great. It sounds like this podcast would have been a great thing for you to listen to when you were growing up. I bet you'd have loved it, wouldn't you?
Yeah, definitely.
You know, to hear all these other stories.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, that's all we've got time for today on Squad. A big thank you to Megan, Olivia, Alfie and Kieran for sharing some of their wildest experiences from being a military child. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Bye.
And a big thank you to Tom for joining us. I am already very excited to do this again next time with you, Tom.
It's been great. See you next time.
And thank you to you for listening. We'll be back with a new episode soon. But in the meantime, please follow and subscribe to Squad wherever you get your podcasts. You've been listening to Squad, brought to you by the charity Little Troopers and produced by TVI Media. To find out more about the work they do supporting the children of the British Armed Forces, visit www.littletroopers.net.